All right. Well, hey, guys, today we are beginning a series called Labeled. And here's the whole point of it, is you and I sometimes try to find our value and our worth in the labels that we wear or the labels that are given to us. But really, all of us have already been labeled by God with more value than we could ever imagine. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about what that means and the labels we try to wear and why there's no value in those, and the labels, how the labels that God gives us have infinitely more value and give us significance and worth. So what is the purpose of a label? It's to identify something. At the grocery store, you see a label that says, this is ground beef. On luggage, you see, this is Timmy's suitcase. And on people, this is who I am. So one way this has played out in my life in a funny way when I was your age in junior high. So, you know, I've never had a sense of smell. So I've always been worried my whole life about, man, do I have bad breath? So I like to have gum or mints on me. And in like seventh grade around that time, I would have gum on me a lot. And my mom always bought gum and it was always in the same drawer. So before I went to school or anywhere, I would always grab gum, put it in my pocket. Well, it was then that I learned the inevitable truth that happens. Whenever you pull out gum for yourself and you're around anybody, what happens? They say, can I have a piece of gum? That always happens. And so, you know, I didn't have a ton of friends at that point. Like, I wasn't in any, like, cool or popular group at that point. And so when people were like, can I have gum? I'd be like, sure. And then I found, over time, people would be like, oh man, thanks. And more people would come up. Can I have gum? And so I kind of took it upon myself to always have gum. And I would have like multiple packs in my pocket, which probably did not even look very cool, but I would always have gum and people would be like, oh man, you always have gum. I can always count on Sean to have gum. And I took on the label willingly of the gum guy. And I was like glad to have that label, right? Of, hey, I'm Sean. You may know me as the gum guy, right? And the reason I was glad to take it on was because I wanted something that would identify me in a positive way, in a good way, in an attractive to other people kind of way. And that is really goofy. But I think we can all relate to that. We try to find value or worth in certain labels about us. So you may not even realize it, but you probably do that too. So I want everybody to stop for a second and just think in your mind, what are two or three of the most important things about you in your social circles, in your schools, in your life? Think through those real fast, just in your mind. Okay, so as you're thinking through those, you might have said, smart. I'm the person that gets good grades. I'm the person that's fun to be around. I'm the funny guy or the funny girl. I'm the athletic one. I'm the soccer player. I'm the basketball player. I'm the volleyball player. I am the athletic person. I'm the girl with the best social media. I'm the creative one. I'm the guy with the best YouTube videos. I'm the one that's the musically talented. I'm the musical one. I'm the rebel. I'm the rule follower. I'm the goody two-shoes. I'm the outcast. On and on and on I could go. And whether we realize it or not, we all at times give ourselves a certain worth based on the labels that we wear. Based on what those answers are. And that's what a label is. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. We're going to talk about what labels we do and don't want, which labels matter, and what they mean for us. But today, I'm going to tell you about a label that you already had when you walked in here this morning. And this label gives you more worth than you could ever imagine, and more worth than any other label. So what is the label we all wear? Okay, look around at the people in this room right here. So if you wanted to get the world's population, we would need 39 million of these rooms right here. 39 million. I want you to look around and look how different everybody is in this room right now. And we would need 39 million of these rooms if we were to have the world's population. 7.8 billion is what the world's population is. Or we could use your schools as an example. For example, let's take Richardson North Junior High. Any Vikings out there? All right. So Right now, Richardson North Junior High has about 630 students in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And to hit the world population, to total it, you would need 12.5 million Richardson North Junior Highs worth of students. Now, I want you to think about in your junior high, how many things are there that you could say every person in your school has in common? Every single student and teacher and administrator has in common. Okay. All right. You're probably able to think of a few, but there are not many. All right. There are not many. Now, I want to show you guys something. This is something called the worldometer. This is the current world population right here. It is growing. You can see we're at 7.8 billion. And we could even view all the people on one page right there. So let's do that. Okay, this is everybody. You could scroll up and down, all that stuff. We can even watch it increase. The human people. You were that one right there. Okay. That's our population. Boom, boom, boom. Like right now, the world's population is increasing by this. Okay. Okay, come back for a second. Come back. That's an insane amount of people. That is an insane amount of people. And it would be really hard to find things that every single person on earth has in common. And there are a few, but there's one I want to talk about, and it's a big one. And we find it in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. It says this, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and those small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the animals that scurry along the ground." So, every single human being, that's me, that's you, has this in common. We are made in the image of God. And there's a term for this called Imago Dei. Okay, now that's a Latin phrase. It's a Latin phrase, Imago Dei, and here's what all it means is image of God. And so we all wear the label Imago Dei. Every single person in this room, in the entire world, that is the label we all wear. Imago Dei. We are made in the image of God. We are his image bearers. So let's talk about what that means for just a second. Some highlights of that. It says we are made in his own image, which means we are a visible representative of God. Now, obviously, God is more than a single person, so it has to be more than just looks. Obviously, we all look very different. Even if you find your doppelganger one day, there are differences there. So it's got to be more than just physical looks. And here's what it is. On a soul level, you are a representative of God. You are his image bearer. And this sets men and women apart from other things, right? You are different than the animals. Animals do not have a soul. Zootopia is just a movie, right? Even though it's good, it's just a movie. It sets us as humans apart from everything else God has created. So here's another way to think about it. This is a painting I made in high school. Some of you, I've showed it before, mainly because it's the only artistic thing that I've ever done well, right? So like, I don't have a wide catalog to show you. It's that, okay? And, so that has some significance to me. It has some. I made it. It came from me. But I have two daughters that are under 2 years old, and they have far more significance to me. They mean far more to me than that painting. Now, both of them came from me, but man, if the house is on fire, I'm not saving the painting. I'm making sure the girls are okay. But my daughters have more significance as something that's composed in my image. They are smaller copies of me and thankfully my wife. And so they have far more significance to me. And that's the example I want to communicate to you to go, hey, you have infinite value and worth as someone created in God's own image. You mean everything to him. And that gives you distinct and natural worth. Everything God has made has value and worth because he created it. But you as a human, as someone made in the image of God, have even more value. Ephesians 2:10 says, you are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. That is value that you have as made in the image of God. Some other highlights of Imago Dei. It says, we as humans were made, created, it says, God said, to be like us, male and female, he created them, which means an expression of God's image in relationship. You are meant to relate to one another. None of us are meant to be alone. The last 7 months have shown us that. It also says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, govern it, reign over, and he lists all those animals and created things. You have authority and dominion over the earth. You have purpose as somebody made in the image of God. And a real quick side note, a lot of religions, when you look at the religious books, it starts with, hey, here's what you need to do. God, in Christianity, in his Bible, starts with, here's who I am as God, and here's who you are and your purpose. So, you might be thinking right now, I know I'm made in the image of God. I've read Genesis 1 before, duh. But my point is, I don't know that we know that. Or if we do know that, I don't know that we think about it nearly often enough. And here's what I mean. I want to end by talking about what happens when we forget the label Imago Dei and what happens when we remember. So what happens when we forget Imago Dei? Two things, what we do to ourselves and what we do to others. Here's what we do to ourselves. We cover the parts that are different out of shame. When Adam and Eve sin, the first thing that they do is cover themselves up. They went from naked and ashamed to naked and ashamed, and they cover themselves up. Now, I am not saying that Imago Dei would have us get rid of clothes. That would be inappropriate. But what I am saying is that in all of us, we feel the same thing. This difference that I have, it brings me down. It takes away my value. It separates me. I should cover it up. My nose is too big. These glasses make me look goofy. This disability makes me unable to have significance. I don't want people to see my family. It's too embarrassing. And that's what happens to ourselves when we forget Imago Dei. We cover up the differences that we feel like make us different than everybody else. And what we do to others is we divide around those differences. You see division almost immediately after Adam and Eve sin. Adam blames Eve. And then one chapter later, Cain murders his brother Abel. And that division only increases as time goes by. And you see, like if you go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see people not interact with other people. And people look down upon people because they're interacting with someone that's from a different race or a different gender or a different, they have these sins and these divisions form. And they only increase. When we forget Imago Dei, our differences become reason for division. When we forget Imago Dei, our differences become reason for division. We kill, steal, slander, make fun of, put down other people. We say people have less value. Even if we don't say it with our words, we treat them like they have less value because of their differences. We hurt them, we curse them, we make fun of them. And the world God made to be whole, to be filled with people made in his image, relating to one another, reigning over the earth, is now dysfunctional. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that we have to look far to see that in 2020 in our world. From the top leadership all the way down, this country is divided by our differences. Our communities are divided by our differences. With brother against brother, people on both sides of the divide taking shots at one another, and a person made in the image of God hating another person made in the image of God. When we forget Imago Dei, our differences become reason for division. But when we remember Imago Dei, we do something different to ourselves, and we do something different to one another. Here's what we do to ourselves. When we remember Imago Dei, we find worth in Imago Dei, not Imago anything else. What I mean by that is we don't become ashamed of the differences in us. We don't try to hide them. We're not embarrassed by them. We live authentically with God's people and say, hey, here's who I am. Because those differences don't take away anything from the fact that the God of the universe specifically, purposefully, the Bible would say fearfully and wonderfully created you. Differences and all. And he loves you. And no differences that you might have take away from that. We also don't elevate the differences in us above where they should be. We aren't blank. We aren't fill in the blank before we are an image bearer of God. It's what identifies us more than anything. And right now the world is telling you the most important thing about you is who you love, the color of your skin, who you'd vote for if you could vote, what gender you are or are not. But Imago Dei is your label, the label that all of us have. It's the most important thing about you. And that's not to say some of those other labels that I just said don't have significance. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is what's most important is the label of image bearer of God. That is the label that is most important. We are not male before we are image bearers. We are not female before we are image bearers. We are image bearers who are also male or female. And on and on and on I could go. So that's what we do to ourselves. We find our worth in Imago Dei more than anything else. It's okay to find value in other labels, but not if it takes the place of Imago Dei. And what we do to others is we celebrate them when we remember Imago Dei. We unify around it. When we remember Imago Dei, differences are no longer a cause for division, but differences are a cause for celebration. I mean, like, think about that. We talked about 7.8 billion people in the world, how hard it would be to find something that unites all of us. And yet there is. We are made in the image of God, and we could say, how cool that I am who I am and you are who you are, and yet God has made us both in his image. And God chose to create us each the way we are. Let's celebrate that. We aren't defined by, we aren't consumed by any other label in us or in others more than the Imago Dei label. So we started with Genesis. We'll go to the last book, Revelation, in chapter 7. And what we see is a picture of what it will look like one day in heaven before the throne of God for those people that have put their faith in Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection as their only hope for salvation, their only hope for life in this life and joy in this life and eternal life to come. And here's the picture that gets painted. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb of God. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." And when I read that, that gets me fired up because I go, hey, there is coming a day. There is coming a day when for those of us who have said, yes, I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I have put my faith completely and totally in what Jesus has done on the cross as my only hope for salvation. When we are standing before the throne of God, we will be united by that and united by the fact that we are all image bearers of God, even though especially considering we are from every tribe and nation and tongue. That gets me really excited. And that also makes me go, I need to remember that now. Because if that's the coming reality, that means it's also the reality now. That although all of us are different, we are all image bearers of God. Truly, I believe, like, I know we will have messages throughout this school year here at Wake, but I believe this is one of the most important things you can grasp, is that if you understand that you and everyone else around you is made in the image of God, it is one of the most important things you can understand. We are living in a world where people have forgotten that. And when you see division and chaos in the world, at its core, it's rooted in the fact that we've forgotten Imago Dei. You hear things like, they're wrong, they're my enemies, I'm against them, that's my opponent, it's my opposition. They're on a different side. We are all on the same side. Because we are all made in the image of God. And when you see unity and order and peace in the world, it's rooted in a remembrance of who we are. And even for non-Christians, this is true. You can look and see that this is true. Every now and then, you will see things that unite us as a people or unite a certain group of people. Every now and then, you'll see a group of famous musicians come together and sing like, "We are the world," right? You could go watch that and you could see all these different people singing that. "We are the world," everyone from like Celine Dion to Justin Bieber. I don't even know who all is in that. But as Christians, we can take that a step farther to say, man, not only are we all, you know, humans, we are all Imago Dei. We are all created in the image of God. And so to close, I have two takeaways and one question. First takeaway, remember that you are Imago Dei. You remember that label about you. That is the most important label about you. The label that takes the place of any other label. If you've ever been to camp, you know, like you know they have those huge trunks that you'll send with you to camp. And if you're mailing them, there'll be like a little label, you know, that's got like the mail, the destination. But you know what? When you send it somewhere else, you got to put a new label over it, right? To cover it up. So you don't send it to the same place you sent it earlier. But like the label of Imago Dei is kind of like that for us, where it just goes over the old labels, except for the fact that not only does it just cover up the labels that were there, it's like those labels never existed. That's how much value and worth and powerful that label is, Imago Dei. And so when you are ashamed of the differences, when you are sitting at small group and you say, "I know I should say this, I know I should bring this up, I know I should let people in," and you're embarrassed, remember that you are Imago Dei. You are created in the image of God, and that gives you more value and worth than any difference you might have, which gives you the strength and boldness to share that with people and to live authentically. Takeaway number two, remember that they are Imago Dei. And when I say they, I mean literally everybody around you, everybody you interact with, the people you agree with, the people you don't. The people you want to be like at your school, the people you want to be friends with you at school, and the people that you try to avoid at your school. They are made in the image of God. They are an image bearer of our King. And you remember that, because that will change how you interact with them. And so with that in mind, I want to leave you with this question. And I really want to challenge you to think about this question and the way it plays out in your life. And I want it to sink in your mind so much that it starts changing the way that you interact with people. And here's what it is. How would you interact with or treat someone if the first thing you thought about was that God uniquely made them? Like, how would it change, or how would you interact with someone if the first thing you remembered is that they are made in the image of God? As valuable to God as you are to God. How would it change the way you interact with or treat someone? I want you to come up with that answer in your mind. And I want you to treat people like that. I want you to interact with people like that. And here's the thing. You can't do that, and I can't do that apart from a relationship with Jesus. I don't have the strength in me because of my sin, because of the sin that is in this world. Man, apart from Jesus, I have a heart that is wicked and that wants to look out for number one, me. But that is what Jesus died for. And so if you have never put your faith in Jesus as your only hope for salvation, that is your first step. Before you can treat someone like Imago Dei, man, you got to put your faith in Christ as your only hope for salvation. If you've never done that, I would invite you to tell somebody that. Tell your small group leader or the person that brought you here, or tell me or Rebe or Jacob or Ryan or any adult in this room. We would love to help you understand what that means, have that conversation with you. Even if you've gone to church your whole life and you go, I don't know that I've ever believed in Jesus and put my faith in him. Let us in. We'd love to help you figure out that. And if you walked in here and you said, no, I'm confident, I put my faith in Christ, I want this question to haunt you this week, because it haunts me. Because too often I treat people like they are not made in the image of God. And so together, as people following Christ, with their lives surrendered to Jesus, let's view everybody and ourselves as made in the image of God. God, we ask that you would help us do that. Only you can help us do that. God, we don't have the strength on our own to do it. God, only you do. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that we'd all admit that we need your help. That too often, we do not view people as made in your image, but we divide around the differences in us. So, God, we need your help. Thank you that that is the label we all wear. That Imago Dei is the label in front of every one of our shirts. God, I pray that we would think about that and we would live in that truth. And we ask this in your name. Amen.